Good morning, Lake City. We are so glad to be worshiping with you again through Facebook. We're still a church family. We're so glad that we can at least do it this way, but we hope that you'll just join in where you are and worship with us and just come into His presence this morning and find some peace for these times.
Change. Jesus, come. To Jesus, come. To Jesus, come.
Welcome, Lake City. We're so glad that you're back with us this week. We love this time that we get to spend with you. And we're here gathered in Christ's name. It doesn't matter where we're at, what we're doing, what room we're sitting in, or what place we may be. God is still our hope. He's still the thing that we get to look forward to. Hey, we want to give a special thanks to all those people who helped bag and hand out groceries at Asbury School yesterday. What a big deal that in the midst of crisis that this church is able to still reach out and do incredible things for God. We believe in you, and we're grateful for everything that you've done for this church, whether it be giving or packing or giving away. We're getting to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and we really appreciate y'all doing that. Hey, we want you, as you're watching, like we say every week, we want you, like, you can't sit in a seat here in the sanctuary, but you can communicate with us, and you can improve upon what we're doing here. And how do you do that? You can hit that like button. You could show us the emotion you're feeling when Pastor Gary's preaching or when the worship's going. You can do the like, the love, the laugh, the mad, even if you want to. I hope you don't do that during worship. But hey, tell us what you think. And also in the comment bar, comment for us. Especially, we're going to be asking questions throughout the service. Now, Pastor may not answer those questions. He may not respond to that. But listen, there are so many people who need your testimony to need to know that it's more than just what's happening here and how you got through things. So please put your story, your comment there in the comment bar to encourage people, because it goes beyond even this service. People continue to watch. And there's so many unanswered questions, and we want you to know that here at Lake City, we're praying that God would give us direction and wisdom how to proceed in the future, as this week we're probably going to find out what the new next normal looks like. So be looking for that. We promise that we care about your needs and we care about this community. And so we're going to do that with all the wisdom that we can muster up. Hey, we're going to start with some scripture and prayer this morning. And our scripture this morning is found in Revelations chapter 3, 19 through 22. And it says this. It says, "Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Lord Jesus, I pray, God, this morning, everybody that's watching this, God, would hear the knock of your Holy Spirit. God, that we would know your presence and your power, God, in such a powerful way. God, that we would know you, God, and hear your voice, God, so clearly. God, maybe through a worship song. God, maybe through a testimony in the comment bar, God. That we would hear, God, your voice, Lord, through the sermon preached, Father God. And that today, God, you would minister and move to our hearts, God, that you would, Lord Jesus, speak to us in such a fresh way. God, we may not be together in person, but God, we're here virtually, God, and you, God, can minister to us in such a powerful way. God, move in this service through everything we do here. In your holy and awesome name we pray. Amen.
Why in the middle of the night I say you are ways. You are good and you never change, God. You are good and you never change, God. You are good and you never change your ways. You are good and you never change, God. You are good and you never change, God. You are good and you never change.
There's a grace when the heart is under fire. Another way when the walls are closing in. And when I look at the space between where I used to be and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. There was another in the fire. Me. There was another in the waters, holding back the seas. Should I ever need reminding of how I've been set free? There is a cross that bears the burden, but another died for me. There is another in the fire. Dead, left for dead beneath the waters. I'm no longer a slave to my sin anymore. And should I fall in the space between what remains of me and this reckoning? Either way, I won't bow to the things of this world. And I know I will never be alone. There is another in the fire, standing next to me. There is another in the waters, holding back the seas. Should I ever need reminding what the power set me free? There is a grace that holds nobody. Now that power lives in me.
life. There was no other name but the name that is Jesus. He who was and still is and will be through it all. So come what may in the space between all the things unseen and this reckoning. I know I will never be alone. Sing that again. I know I will never be alone. There'll be another in the fire standing next to me. There'll be another in the water.
Another in the water
holding back the sea. Should I ever need reminding how good you've been to me?
I'll count the joy come every battle.
Cause I know that's where there's another in the fire. There'll be another in the fire standing next to me. There'll be another in the water holding back the seas. Should I ever be reminded how good you've been to me?
I'll count the joy come every battle.
Cause I know
that's where you'll be. Darkness, as the darkness bows to him, I can hear the roar in the heavens as the space between where stands. I can feel the ground shake beneath us as the prison walls cave in. Nothing stands between us. Nothing stands between us.
I can see the light
in the darkness as the darkness bows to him.
I can hear the roar in the heavens as the space between where's thin. I can feel the ground
shake beneath us as the prison walls cave in.
Nothing stands between us. Nothing stands between me. Another in the fire. I know that's where you'll be. I count the joy come every battle. Cause I know that's where you'll be.
Hallelujah. You know, we may be separated by space, but we're not isolated. And Jesus is with you in your living room or your bedroom, your den, your kitchen, wherever you've gathered with us from. The Spirit of Christ binds us together. And that song is powerful. Thank you, worship team. There's another in the fire. Regardless of what you're going through today, there's one that is near and as close as the mention of his name. And so we just rejoice in the truth of that song. We sing it because we believe it. And so praise God for that. Let me just mention one thing before I start sharing God's word with you and some encouragement. Last week we made a call for all of you parents of young children to have your child draw a picture of the church. And we want to use that, and we intended to use it today, but we only had just a handful participate. So if you didn't send us your child's artwork as they drew the church, we're going to give you one more week to do that, and we encourage you to do that. You know, there's whispers of reopening the economy, reopening our country, reopening our state and our communities. And, you know, that can kick off a vivid imagination about what are you going to do? What's the first thing you're going to do, you're going to participate in active, involvement out in the great outdoor, whatever. What is the first thing you're going to do when this thing opens back up? Now, I know a lot of people, matter of fact, my wife's one of them, she said, I'm going to the beach. And that may be what you imagine when this thing opens up. You're heading to the beach. You know, the winds, the waves, the beauty, the fun, the laid back, refreshing experience of being on the beach there. Everyone pretty much enjoys the magic of the beach. You know, everybody from small children to senior citizens, from Corona Beer Company to Walt Disney, they all want to capture and capitalize on the magic of the beach. And so, you know, I've got an invitation for you today, okay? Jesus is extending this invitation to you. Come have breakfast with us at the beach. And so, you know, we're about to read a story from the Scriptures. It's another post-resurrection appearance of Jesus to His disciples. And He invites them to breakfast on the beach. And there's at least four things here, I believe, that the Lord wants us to see that we need in a moment of crisis. And I want to share those with you, but I just want to pray. Father, open our eyes and our ears. Open our hearts. I believe You want to speak to us through this story. God, may we be able to receive the truth and the encouragement You have in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read from John chapter 21. Last week we talked about the resurrected Christ appearing to Peter and the other disciples in a closed room and to Mary in the garden of where the tomb was. But today we're one step beyond that. The disciples have gone to Galilee because at one point He told them through Mary, tell them I'm going to meet them in Galilee. So here they are in Galilee and just kind of at loose ends, not knowing what to do, when to do it. And this is what happens. It says, after these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, what we usually call the Sea of Galilee. And in this way, He showed Himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of His disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we're going too. And they went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have any food? They answered Him, no. And He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they did. They cast the net on that side and they were not able to draw it all in because of the multitude of the fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, said to Peter, it's the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, about 200 cubits, that's a little over 200 yards, and dragging maybe 250 yards, 300, dragging the net with the fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask Him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them and likewise the fish. This is now the third time that Jesus showed Himself to the disciples after He was raised from the dead. You know, the disciples had already experienced the resurrected Christ, as we talked about last week. And they were no longer grieving over the loss of Jesus, but they understood that it was not going to be like it was before. So they went to Galilee, probably because Jesus said, I'll meet you there. But they went fishing. Now, maybe that was because they were hungry. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. Maybe they were hungry. Maybe they were bored. Maybe they just needed some time to go sort things out. I see people sitting by the lake out here or out in their bass boats just about every day. And some of them are out there because they're trying to earn a living. Some of them are out there because they just need to get away and sort it all out. But here's the truth. They were having to go back to real life after this big revelation, Jesus is alive. And, you know, they were doing what it would be natural for a fisherman to do, because half of these guys were fishermen in the boat that day. They were doing what comes natural. And by the way, they probably still had connections in the fishing business. We don't know if they sold their boats when they 3.5 years before when they went to follow Jesus, but they probably still could at least borrow a boat. And here they were out in the sea. And again, here they were fishing all night long, just like that happened 3.5 years before when Jesus showed up in their lives and said, "Hey, why don't you follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." So here they are back in a boat again. Here they are, fished all night long. Here they are, caught nothing again. And so, you know, that's what you do when you don't know what to do. We usually go back to what we know best, to what's comfortable, what's familiar, something we're sure of. And maybe that's what the disciples were doing. Because Jesus said, "I'll meet you in Galilee," but he didn't say go back to the fishing business. And so maybe they were just going back to something that was familiar, that was comfortable, that was understandable, something where they felt like they might be in control. And then, in the middle of their sentimental journey, somebody calls out from the shore, "Hey, kids, you got any food out there, any fish?" Well, the experts had caught nothing again. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Because this is just like that moment when they were first called. It might have even been the same spot where Jesus first told them, "Push out, let's go fishing." And Peter said, "Lord, we fished all night. We didn't catch anything, but at your word, we'll do it." This may be the very spot off of the beach where Jesus had taught them and had given them 2 boatloads of fish and had called them to be fishers of men. It's very likely it was, if not the same spot, in the very same area. It was Jesus, though we know, it was Jesus taking them back to where they started this adventure with Him. Christ was trying, I believe, to accomplish on that day at the beach with His disciples, I believe the same thing He wants to accomplish with us today. He wants to assure us of some things today. He wants to remind us and show us some things. And so there's 4 things that I want to share with you. And the first one is this. Jesus wants to remind you of your purpose. You know, we've asked you to comment on Facebook here, you know, to describe in one word what it was like when you first gave your heart to Jesus, when you first said yes to His truth and His love, when you first said, "Come into my heart, I want you to be my Savior, forgive my sins." That born-again experience, if you've had that experience, we want you to describe to us in one word what that was like for you. Because I want to tell you this, in this crisis, I believe that Jesus wants to do for us what He did for those disciples on the beach that day. He wants to remind us of our purpose. He wants to remind us of what we signed up for when we came to follow Jesus. He wants to remind us maybe of prophetic words that have been said over our lives. Maybe what we felt called to do, compelled to do when we first put our trust in Him. He wants to help us remember and go back to the beginning. He wants to take us back to the first love that we had, to the first work He did in us, because none of that has been rescinded. for those of you that are looking for your gift, that thing that you can use to make a difference in this world. I want to tell you this, don't despise this shutdown with the coronavirus. It is preparation time for you to get reconnected with your original purpose, reconnected with that first love you had for Christ, reconnected with that energy and that excitement that you had when you first believed and you decided, I've got to share this. I've got to make a difference. I've got to do something with this truth. I can't sit on it. Just like if I had a cure for cancer, I've got to share it with the world. You were given something even more important than a cure for cancer. You were given the cure for the ultimate soul cancer that we talked about a week or two ago, which is sin. You were given that gift. And originally, when you first came to Jesus, you were looking for a way to share it. I believe that Jesus today wants you and I to reconnect with what that moment was like for us, that first moment. He wants us to think back. How our heart leaped, how we were full of joy, how we had such peace and such a sense of purpose. He wants to remind you of your purpose. Because you know what? You were born for such a time as this. You were brought into the family of God for such a time as this. Like the Queen Esther back in the book of Esther, when her uncle told her, hey, listen, God placed you in this position for this time for a very strategic purpose. I believe that everyone that has gathered with us today on Facebook Live or by the radio, 88.5 FM, I believe every one of you, you were born so that you could make a difference in this time of crisis today. Now, distractions may have diluted your focus. They may have diluted your energy over the past many months or years. But the potential to touch your world is still in you as the Lord breathes on it and empowers you with His Holy Spirit. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to develop that potential. I want you to pray over that potential. I want you to look for a need in the middle of this crisis and ask God how you can meet it. This reminds me of a well-known pastor out in Phoenix, Arizona, Tommy Barnett. Developed a church, grew a church up to about 10,000, and then he's the one that had the vision for starting the Dream Center in Los Angeles that's ministering to thousands of needy people on the streets. When asked what his secret was, he said, it's easy. I find a need and I try to meet it. That's the key to making a difference in our world. So I challenge you. Be reminded of what it was like when you first came to faith in Christ. Get reconnected with your purpose. That's the first thing. The second thing is this. Is Jesus wants to He wants to fuel relationship with you and I. Some of you really need to hear this. Even if you haven't been a believer in Christ, you haven't been a follower, you may have gathered with us today. You never really made a commitment to Christ with your life. You never really confessed, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior, you're it. I put all my trust into your care. I put it in your care and control. I put myself in your hands. Maybe you've never made that kind of commitment. But in the midst of this crisis, you're hurting. You feel isolated. You feel alone. I want you to know this. Christ desires a relationship with you that will change your life. It's not as much about rules as it is relationship. And He is pursuing that. And that's what we see on the beach that day. Jesus could have just left His appearances to them in that closed room. He could have stopped there and went on back to heaven. But He wanted relationship with these disciples. And He invited them to breakfast. He wanted time with them. And so He invited them to hang out with the risen Son of God. And I want to tell you this today. You are being invited to hang out, to fellowship, as a Christian word we use, a church word, fellowship. That means spending time together. It may include eating together, but it certainly includes sharing who we are. It includes sharing the things that mean the most to us. And that day, Jesus invited them to breakfast. He could have just called them to shore, given them marching orders, and ascended back to heaven. It's not what He's after. He's after a relationship with you and with me. And so He invited them to breakfast. He had the spread laid out there. Some of you think you're pursuing God. You're trying to catch up to God and get Him to give you something He's reluctant to give you. I'm telling you, you're not pursuing God. He is pursuing you today through this message and this worship experience that we're sending across the airwaves. He's pursuing you. He initiates fellowship with us just like He did with them. For many of us we've asked Jesus to shelter in place. We've asked Him to self-quarantine while we went about our business. Jesus, we're just going to put you in this little cubicle over here, and when we need you, we'll come ring your bell. We'll come pull your chain. We'll come press your button. But in this crisis, in this corona crisis, some of you are having to be self-quarantined, or you're having to shelter in place, stay-at-home orders. I want you to understand something. You may be separated, but you don't have to be isolated, because Jesus is pursuing you in the middle of this crisis. And yes, He's let all the distractions, all the substitutes perhaps, they've begun to fall away. They've been put on hold. And I believe this is a moment for every one of us to say, I'm listening for your voice now. You've been after me over the past many months and years of my life. I didn't have time to really listen and really zoom in and really connect with you. But I recognize your spirit is saying to me, do I have your attention now? Because I've been chasing you through all the busyness and all the distractions of your life. This invitation, I want you to understand what happened that day on the beach. This invitation was to people who doubted Him. Thomas was in the boat. This invitation was to somebody who denied even knowing Him three times, Peter. This invitation was to the sons of thunder, John and James, people with attitude and temper issues. This invitation was even sent to two disciples the writer doesn't even bother to name. You may feel like one of those guys. Maybe you've doubted Him. Maybe you've denied knowing Him. Maybe you got attitude issues. Or maybe you feel like nobody even knows where you're at or what you're doing or cares. Everybody that fits all of those categories, He's inviting you to breakfast on the beach. He's after you. He's after relationship with you, because He wants to exercise us, to exercise the beauty and the purpose He placed within us. And I want you to know this. You may think, I've got too many deficits to have a real relationship with Jesus. Hear me, please. A relationship with Jesus is the key to making up your deficits. You may say, well, I've got issues, I've got addictions, I've got desires that I know aren't pleasing to God, I got things going on. I'm telling you, a relationship with Jesus is the key to your deficits. It's the key to your new identity. It is the key to your peace. It is the key to your purpose. He wants relationship. Because He loves you, and because He wants you to experience the best He has to offer. And it always comes in the package of relationship. The third thing is this. Jesus wants to reconnect in partnership with you and I. He wants a partnership. I want you to notice what happened on the beach that day. He already had fish and bread cooking for these guys. How did he get them? Did he have a line and a pole? I have no idea. Bible doesn't tell us. He could have snapped his fingers and had instant breakfast. But here's what he did. He said, bring some of your fish and add it to what I've prepared. Why? Why? I believe because he wanted to partner with his disciples. He wanted them to understand, you have a part, I have the power. You have a part, I have the power. You have a part to play in my purposes being worked out. You have a part to play in connecting with me in relationship. You've got to respond when my spirit speaks. You've got to respond when you hear my word. You've got to respond. You've got to make room for me in your life. See, you've got a part to play in all of this. He wants partnership, but he has the power to make it effective. Just like the little boy that brought him his lunch when he was trying to feed 5,000 people. He took the little boy's lunch and broke it and blessed it, and the disciples distributed it, and one happy meal fed 5,000 plus people. What is that? It's partnership. He wants your partnership. That's why he tells us to pray. He knows what needs to be done. We don't have to tell God what to do. We don't have to ask him to do things he already wants to do. Why should we pray? He set it up that way. It's because he wants us to have a part to play in the manifestation of his purpose through his power. He wants you to be his partner today, just like he wants to fuel a relationship with you. You know, I've seen this work this week. As you know, our church has been trying to help feed hungry kids that are out of school and don't have the lunches that they were getting. And we have had two different people that we don't even know, really, come forward and say, I want to offer my part to help you do what you feel like God's told you to do. And because of their generosity, we're able to continue feeding kids and needy families. See, that's a testimony of how this works. See, there's two things that we can all do when we have a problem or we have a challenge or we have an opportunity. One is, as we pray, God can say to us, be still and know I'm God. In other words, you prayed about it, let me handle it. That's always a viable option. But then there's another viable option, and I believe this one is the one he uses most of the time in our lives. We pray, God, help me with this, and he says, okay, I will, go do this. He gives us a directive to become a partner in the process. Some of you, you're sitting around wringing your hands, you're praying, but really what you're really doing is worrying out loud to God, and that's okay, he understands. But I want you to know, one of the things he wants to do for you in this crisis, whether you've already lost your job, or you're already, the bills are already stacking up and you don't know what you're going to do, or you're hungry, or you are sick and you're wondering if you've got the virus, or somebody you know has already suffered, or maybe even died, I want to tell you, pray and listen for marching orders. Sometimes, maybe most of the time, he wants to direct us in how we should respond so that we can partner with him to do our part as he adds his power and his purpose. There's one more thing. On that day on the beach, I believe Jesus wanted them to recognize his hand in action without them really being able to just recognize his visible appearance. If you remember, it said nobody dared ask, was this Jesus? Evidently, he was not as physically recognizable like they really remembered him before the crucifixion and resurrection. But there was something about the way he acted. There was something about the way he spoke. There was something about the way he moved. There was something about what he was providing that day. They just knew. This is the hand of God at work. This is Jesus in flesh appearing and cooking us breakfast. I want you to know this. He's at work in your life, whether you recognize it as Jesus or not. His hand is in action. And He wants you to understand the way you recognize if Jesus is working in your life is by the fruit. You see, there was something about what Jesus was doing, how He was doing it, and what He was saying. It all just tasted like Jesus. It just smacked of Jesus. It was just had Jesus written all over it. It had Jesus' fingerprints all over it. And there's things happening in your life even right now has Jesus' fingerprints all over it. It may be something that His body, the church, has done. I can tell you this, the way He works in our lives many times is through His people. You say, you pray and you ask for direction, you don't know what to do, and then somebody from the church or from a believer in Christ shows up and encourages you or sends you a text message, or they show up with groceries, or they watch your kids while you know, that's the hand of Jesus at work in your life through His church, which He calls His body. So these are the four things that I really believe the Spirit of God is saying to you to encourage your heart. What does Jesus want to do in your life in the middle of this crisis? He wants to remind you of your purpose. He wants to fuel relationship with you because that's the key to all your deficits. He wants to extend partnership to you and me in the middle of us handling issues in our lives. And He wants you to recognize His hand at work in you. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer now. And I just want to say to you, some of you that maybe you haven't been a follower, maybe you were raised in church, maybe you understood that Jesus was real and you believed in your head, but you never really committed your life to Him. He's talking to you today. He's talking to you. And He wants you to hear what's being said here. He's invited you to a relationship. He's not inviting you to a performance that you just can never measure up to. This isn't about keeping rules. Does He give us commands? Yes, He does. If we love Him, will we obey Him? Yes, we will. But it's not really about a performance of rule keeping. It is about a relationship with the risen Son of God. And He wants you to have it, regardless where you're coming from. He's not keeping things from you. He's keeping things for you. And your purpose will only really flourish in relationship because He doesn't just give life. He is life. And when we gain Him in relationship, we gain life. If that's you and you've not experienced that life, you've not experienced the peace and the joy of sins forgiven and a discovered purpose and acceptance before God and wholeness that comes from letting Him make up our deficits. You've not experienced the release of sins forgiven and guilt rolled away and shame eliminated. You've never experienced any of that. But you want to. And you feel something tugging at your heart this morning, I want you to pray with me right now. Just pray this simple prayer. Father, I need a Savior. I need that life He's talking about. And Lord, I put my past, my present, my future into Your care and control, and I declare that I trust You, that You died for my sins, and that You are my Savior, and You are the key to my life. I trust that. And I put my life in Your care and control, and I ask You, wash away my sin, make me whole, begin this process in my life as I set my heart to follow You in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that with sincerity and faith in your heart and trust in God, He's already at work in you. He has now washed away the record against you, and you are in right relationship with God. Now, like a newborn baby, you got to learn to grow. You got to learn to walk. You got to learn to walk with Jesus. Please contact us. You can make a comment on Facebook. I prayed the prayer to follow Jesus. Send us your information by messenger. My email address is gwcraft gwcraft@gmail.com. gwcraft@gmail.com. Please send me an email and tell me you prayed that prayer. We want to encourage you and send you some literature. But I want to pray for the rest too. Maybe you're a believer, but you're struggling and you wonder, does Jesus, is he really wanting to be close to me? Do I really still have a purpose? Even though I got off track and distracted and confused, does he still have a purpose for me? Can I really go back? Is he going to fuel a relationship? Does he want to partner with me even still? Is his hand at work in my life? I want to pray for you quickly, Father, in Jesus' name. Help them remember that original purpose. Bring confidence to their heart that you are after them for a relationship of love that will make up the deficits of their soul. Lord, help them connect with you in partnership through prayer and obedience, and let them see your hand at work in their lives in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you. Pastor Seth's going to come up and share a couple of things with us real quick.
Hello. All right. Hey, we are just going to go through some announcements going up. We're going to put out a poll on the Lake City page this week to see how many of you would be interested in a drive-in service. So whenever we put that up, please vote. Say yes or no, thumbs up, thumbs down. But we need to know what you think and how many of you actually would show up for one of those services. The second thing, God laid it on my heart. I said this Wednesday night, but this is a bigger audience, to do something for the seniors. And the seniors, I'm talking about the seniors at Gunnersville High School, just because they're down the road. We can see them from our church. You see it every time you come in. And God placed this on our hearts to do. So we have made campaign-sized signs, like campaign-like signs to stick in seniors' yards. And so we still need money for that. We had some donations come in right after Wednesday. We really appreciate all that you have done for that. But if you'd like to do that, you can sponsor a senior for $2.50 a senior. So how many ever you want to do, we're trying to bless 147. So that's how many are at Gunnersville High School graduating. If you want to do that, you can mail that in. You can bring it to the church. We'll meet you at the door, or however you want to do that. And so please, please help us with that. We still have just a little over half of what it costs to fund all the thing. And then third, we are going to announce next week a digital giving platform. So it should be in and maybe even working by next week. And it'll do more than our PayPal has done, which is cool because you'll be able to designate, you'll be able to text to give, you'll be able to do a direct deposit. And so you'll be able to give your tithes designated however you want to do it through this new giving platform. So we'll announce that next week. And then we want you to remember the new children's times. We started that today, Alicia Taylor, with Firecracker Worship, which came on today at 9:30. And this afternoon, and from now on, as long as we're doing this, at 4 o'clock will be the children's church lesson for Powerhouse Electrified. Hey, we are so glad that you joined us this morning. We love you guys. We cannot wait to see your faces again. And we love you. We're praying for you. We're here for you. If you need us, we're a phone call away, 256-582-8509. We'll see you very soon. Thanks for joining us this morning.